latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. Don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I'm shaking. Lying naked on the floor. Illusions never change into something real. Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn.
We're back at the races.
I'm already torn.
James T.W. For those of you that are hearing that for the first time,
so I guess the fortune teller's right.
His cover of Torn, and he's like 21, this kid. Big talent. And in fact, it's funny because the other day, Tina's got the, she's got the little, what is the, Is it the Google? What does she call it? What do you when you talk to the little robot thing? I think it's the. I think we got the Google one. I think Zachary gave us the Google one. Alexa, is it Alexa? I don't think we've got Alexa. I think she says, "Hey Google." Right? Is that yeah? Okay. So Tina's got it's the little tabletop one, and then it plays music or does whatever. I don't know. I haven't asked it to do anything, but. Tina was looking for, you know, she wanted to play a station or play a certain style of music. And I forget what artist she asked for. She asked, "Hey, Google, play whoever." And Google couldn't figure out what she was asking for or couldn't find the artist. And so I said to Tina, I said, "Ask it to play James T.W." And so it said, you know, here's, and it recognized James T.W. And it said, you know, here's a YouTube station based on James T.W. And it was great. And Tina was like, "Oh my God, this was really good." Like an hour later, she said, that was a great choice. So James T.W. And it's funny because somebody asked me on Twitter last month or when I first played it, you know, who is that? And so I used his Twitter moniker. And he responded, which was great. He's getting big, but he's obviously not so big that he doesn't. He's 21. So tweet at him. Tweet at James T.W. The T.W. stands for Taylor Watts. I just looked up. And he is 21 years old. So really, really good. I mean, the kid's a talent. Seth Merrill will join us at some point here. We don't have him yet. And actually, it opens up a window for me to do something because I didn't get a chance. There were still tons of things that we didn't cover from the weekend. And that includes the rest of the Prairie Meadows action. And for whatever reason, you know, the sprint, the Iowa sprint, which for many years, Coach Jimmy Lee would win every year, it scratched down to three horses. There were a bunch of kind of cross entries, and nobody really showed up. It ended up being a three-horse race, which was strange, and shared the upside. The Hill and Dale favorite, she got beat. He got beat, I should say. And De Rapper for Federico Villafranco and Danny Caldwell ended up being a pretty, you know, pretty dominant winner to start things off in the Iowa Festival of Racing. And in the Iowa Oaks, Lady Apple, even money, and she basically vied for favoritism and then vied for the victory with Uleli of Brad Cox's and Cheyenne Stables and Phoenix and Katie Rich with Lady Apple. Ricardo Santana Jr., the Curlin Philly out of Miss Mary Apples. It happens to be a Katie Rich homebred and Phoenix's involvement. And, you know, she was, of course, third in the Kentucky Oaks. So we'll see. We'll see what the Asmussen barn, I imagine that they've got to give serious consideration. She got an 87 buyer, but you got to think that bringing her to Saratoga is in the cards. And you heard me hint at the disqualification in the Iowa Derby. And I was going to go back and rewatch the replay a few times, and I didn't get a chance to do that. But I just based on the two viewings and the stewards' review tape that you see when they do the replay, they took down winning number, and I feel terrible for Eddie Martin Jr. To have a win like this taken from him, and of course from, you know, the ownership, not just Eddie, but James Spry. And this is a Spitestown colt that was making a third start, was 2 for 2 coming in, hadn't, you know, faced the stakes debut. And I don't see where winning number cut off Shang, and to the extent that needed to be taken down. It looked to me like Eddie Martin had position, held position, and you know, just because somebody is testing, coming up the rail, since when are jocks where they're supposed to give room and let somebody pass you up the inside? Go back and face the owner and the trainer if you do that. I'm sorry. I don't get this one. I didn't see as much consternation over it as I did see a couple of things, but I didn't really read any threads about it. But I didn't see it live. I only saw it the next day, but I didn't really understand why winning number had to come down. What it did was elevate top line growth into the win, into the Iowa Derby win. Kelly Rubley and Mr. Grant. This is actually a Elkstone homebred by Tapizar. Maryland bred too. And now 3-for-4 with that win. Sir Anthony, congratulations to Anthony Mitchell and the Otto Stables team and family. Sir Anthony at a fat 8.5-1, 1880 to win the Cornhusker. This is always a fun. It's always the Cornhusker's great. The Cornhusker is one of my favorite, sort of mid-America standards. And of course, a race that born and raised at Exarban, and then found a home at Altoona at Prairie Meadows. Sir Anthony and Pedro Cotto Jr. Nice win for him. Nice grade three for Cotto. Dark Vader, actually, second here for Peter Verton. And remembering Rita, remembering Rita is five, and it feels, I don't know, it feels to me like remembering Rita has been around forever. Doug Anderson, and was, 19th start at the age of five. Spring at last, remembering Rita. So that was Friday night. And then on Saturday in the Iowa Festival of Racing, they slipped in the Iowa bred action, including the Hawkeyes. My woman from Tokyo, Kelly Von Emel. This for Christine Reiner and Crimson King Farm. Crimson King bred this one, Aniko Bay. 10th career win. It's made over $500,000, the 6-year-old mare. She wins the Hawkeyes, and who was aboard here? Let me turn back to this. Glenn Corbett gets the win. Ken Tohill on Net Gain to win the Cyclones. Include Gelding, 7-year-old. Last to first win in here. And a bit of an upset, 3-1. You had Hansense, the Kendall Hansen homebred, actually not a homebred. It was actually bred by Alan Poindexter, but a Hansen. This is a horse, of course, that we saw last 2 years ago at three. Was made some little bit of noise on the 3-year old scene. Hansense did, but this was Clinton Stewart for Claim to Fame Stables. Net Gain, and you had the Sailorville, the 6-furlong for the Phillies, and Mares Double Down and Jimmy DeVito. You can't run an Iowa Festival of Racing without a Jimmy DeVito win. Coach Jimmy Lee, one of our absolute all-time favorites. And in the Iowa distaff, Moonlit Garden. Brad Cox for Tracy Marks, the Malibu Moon 5-year-old mare, and she was even money. And this one, somewhat never in doubt, really. Alex Ganchari, by the way, was on Shanghai Tariff, the Shanghai Bobby filly for DeVito and Double Down. So there's your Iowa Festival of Racing. We can put away that one. And let me see what else I have. Marley's Freedom. I didn't mention the Great Lady M. And, of course, today they'll draw the Los Al Derby, potential, apparently, for Omaha Beach, maybe. So we'll see about that. And Marley's Freedom, though, at 60 cents on the dollar with Drayden Van Dyke. Last seen, of course, in the Umana distaff. And I imagine that Baffert has got to think Ballerina, right, with Marley's Freedom. So we'll see about that. How about what else? Pleasanton. I don't want to skip over the performance by Victory Rose Thoroughbreds Homebred, Bulletproof One, a winner in the Everett Nevin. This is the Calbred 2-year-olds, 5.5 furlongs, $100,000 at Pleasanton. And in a romp, Bulletproof One. And I actually got to go back and see what kind of a figure, because that race had not received a figure. But we'll see about about Bulletproof One, who's an idiot-proof filly that was homebred by Victory Rose out of a Dikarchi mare. You also had, we talked about the one stake at Parks with John Service, obviously, and delighted for Will and Will Schwartz and his partner. But how about Christophe Clement? Pure sensation. The 8-year-old wins the Parks Dash. Paco Lopez aboard. If you didn't see this one also was really never in doubt. The disconcerting performance, Vision Perfect. I don't know. Vision Perfect has had three modest efforts so far this year. Chased in Premise at the beginning of the year in Florida, but now back-to-back off efforts. So we'll see what Chris, what he's going to do to, or actually Vision Perfect with Jason Service, I mean, not Chris. Christophe with Pure Sensation for the Generazios. And even going back a little further, I do want to mention, because I didn't get a chance, we haven't talked to Michelle Boyce in a long time, and she had a nice win, a big price. My Murty won the Chicago Handicap back at the last weekend in June. And congratulations. A Magna graduate, an Illinois-bred 7-year-old, My Murty. That's very cool. Beat Hotshot Anna, who was 3-5. Yeah, this is very cool. I wish kind of that I'd been on last week. Takes a graded stake shot with My Murty at age 7 and wins the Chicago Handicap. Nice. And what else? Did I get the... I don't think I did this either. Churchill. Let's get the Churchill in from closing weekend when I wasn't around. Phantom Boss. George Perriman came in from California and wins the Bashford. How about that? From the rail. Rafael Bejarano. A Shackelford colt broke his maiden against Calbreds at Santa Anita, going 4.5. And this, of course, was 6. And Phantom Boss. Very nice. 70 buyer in here. So that's a nice win for Perriman out of town. And Rafi coming home to Louisville. You also had Magic Dance for Asmussen and Three Chimneys. Homebred of theirs. Magic Dance won the debutante. We'll see what's next there. What kind of fig did that get, you're asking? It got a 76, so the filly outperformed the boy, and the Kelly's Landing as well. Let's clear this from the desk. Line judge for Peter Miller. Peter Miller, after an extended period, finally kind of woke up. Peter had about, I don't know, 5 or 6 wins, you know, over about a 10-day period after a long cold snap. And also, I should mention, in fact, that same day, Ohm, a winner for Miller and the Serene family, the 7-year-old veteran. Nice performance in a rich allowance as well. Los Al, let me get that one in. Queen B to you. Andrew Lerner for Christopher St. Hilaire and Adam Vale. make it Adam Valley. Excuse me, Adam. But Queen Bee to you. The five-year-old won the Bertrando opening weekend at Los Al. A horse that was by originally a Tommytown bred, an old topper mare. Up by a nose at 11-1. And that was with Ray Fuentes. So that's a lot of it. Also one more before we go to Seth. We'll take a break probably at the bottom of the hour and go to Seth. But I wanted to get these in. It's not people like to hear, you know, especially if you look forward to hearing your name, if you're involved in these horses. But how about the Summit of Speed? Right, we didn't get the Summit of Speed results, and the Princess Rooney, Stormy Embrace. Talk about hard-hitting mares. She was going to be a short price in there. Wilmer Garcia, one of our favorites. Remember when Wilmer had that great summer up here at Saratoga? And then he had the car accident going to Penn National one night, and it really interrupted what felt like some momentum in his career. But Stormy Embrace for the Matalona Thoroughbreds people, the mare by Circular Key. Homebred and nice win. And that was coming out of the prep, out of the Musical Romance. So the grade two Princess Rooney. And you also had the Smile and that nice horse of Patrick Biancones and the Diamond Racing people. Patrick really has got a nice thing going with them and a nice steady diet of some nice horses. But in the Smile, the grade three Diamond with Julian Leperoux. And was coming out of that try in the Jiper, went back to dirt to win the Smile. And a little bit of an upset there, a little bit. Jalen Journey, who then turned around and went through the ring and was the sale topper the other day, Monday, in the racing age sale. You also had the Carry Back, which is no longer graded, 3-year-old boys. And Take Command in here for Terry Pompey and Tropic Lightning Racing. This was bred by our friend Ed Seltzer originally. And Take Command, now 3-for-7. And might be a horse heading somewhere. 89 buyer in here by Field Commission. And It's My Lucky Charm won the Azalea. Eddie Plisa for Laurie. And in It's My Lucky Day, 4-year-old, or actually 3-year-old, I should say, the Azalea, of course, for 3-year-old fillies. And finally, Ladies Island for the Matisse and Rich Averill team and Georgina Baxter. And, of course, Pay Any Price. This is now a female version, it seems, of Pay Any Price. So congratulations to Team Matisse and Rich. And they'll be ready to go tomorrow, the picnic table in the back corner by the Big Red Sprague. Very nice. And Ladies Island, Pay Any Price originally was entered in here, but scratched and wins the Bobby Humphrey Turf Sprint. So is that that's the lion's share. We talked Jaywalk from the Delaware Oaks in the Robert Dick. I do want to talk to Ian Wilkes because, you know, Gentle Ruler, a winner in the Robert Dick. But I told you at the beginning of the show, Neck and Neck, very sadly, had to be euthanized in Indiana. And age of 10 and is just getting started. There's going to be the one crop. He'd had a nice reception in Indiana, and feel very badly for everybody involved. Breakaway Farm, and they were very, very excited. And, of course, you'll remember that Dennis Farkas, we talked about Neck and Neck when Dennis and Ian were, having real, a nice run with him. Very sorry about that. So we'll talk to Ian at some point about it, but Ian did have and son-in-law Chris Landeros, who Rich Migliori is going to handle as a jock agent, but the Gentle Ruler, the Colonel John filly,
wins the Robert Dick. That eons is streaking. Four straight now. Arnaud Delacour, Trevor McCarthy aboard. And Delacour also won the Cape Henlopen with Knesser. And also got to mention, Dr. Blarney followed up his Suffolk win, came right back on you know, modest rest, and wins the Carl Hanford. And if you didn't see the little note that was really I kind of fun. This was a, you know, one of those tidbits, and I'm not sure when Jessica Chappell, when she got it, but she made the great connection to Dr. Blarney and you know, Joe DiRico, the Massachusetts bred, winning the Hanford, and Jessica pulled out the tidbit that Carl Hanford, long before he started training, when he rode the first winner ever at Suffolk. How about that for full circle? Unbelievable. Crazy. I thought that was a great, I retweeted that. That was an amazing tidbit. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour, I wanted to get those results in. And we come back, Seth Merrow and Seth and I'll kick off the Saratoga seasonal everything. See what Seth has to say. And, of course, we started with Loose on the Lead on Sunday, you know, kind of working out the technical kinks on the set for Capital OTB. Saw John Signer from Capital yesterday at the 1863 opening. Take a quick timeout. Seth Merrow, when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
All right, carry the four plus this, I got that. All right.
26,876.
What's that?
That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet.
Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for?
On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapping Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer.
Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Back at the races, bottom of the hour, and Seth Merrow standing by, Jungle Boy himself. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. Live from the backstretch. Beautiful morning here at Saratoga.
Nice. So you're sitting there handicapping probably Friday's card.
I haven't printed out Friday yet, but that's the game plan for when I get off the air with you.
So you have done tomorrow, though.
I have done tomorrow. Oh, absolutely.
Nice. All right, good. So here's what we're going to do. We'll do a little bit of, bang the gong around and talk about the meet, and then we'll handicap tomorrow's card.
Sounds good.
Excellent. All right. Then I was surprised yesterday. I thought maybe I would see you at the 1863 kickoff.
I was dying to go because I'm dying to see the inside of that place, but I was at a TU seminar, Times Union seminar.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Thursday. Yeah.
I could have easily been at the 1863 because it was the seminar was Migliori, Larry Colmus, Dale Romans, Eric Eo, and then I was batting clean. No, I was going to say I was batting cleanup. That would be good. I would be the power hitter. I was batting last. I was ninth in the order. I literally came up at the end and had like a 3-minute spiel, made a couple of picks, and that was it. So yeah, I could have definitely gone over and taken a look at the building. That would have been the preferred afternoon. But and not to take anything away from the seminar, which was well attended. It was very entertaining. It was just, you had all the storytellers up there. They didn't need me to participate, but the folks in the audience, which, as I say, very well attended, people looking forward to the meet, and they enjoyed Gio, Romans, Colmus, and Migliori.
Nice. Well, then I will only tell you that you're going to, I think, be suitably impressed. I talked about it at the beginning of the show, and basically it replaces the old at the rail tent and those modular suites. It brings all of it together and did it with a real style and panache. And I think people are going to love it. And there's lots of options, in terms of group parties, and I know Seth. I've seen a little bit of critique, and I kind of railed against some of the people that were being critical of this concept. But for years, all we ever heard was how Naira can't make any money, and then when Naira goes and tries to capitalize on their greatest asset, that's no good either.
Yeah, I don't. The top of the stretch, which was the addition last year, which I have applauded, got criticized, and I don't get it. Nothing is taken away from what the average fan. The price has gone up, I guess, slightly, but still, you talk about the price of a day at the track. If you're at the low end, it beats any other professional sport. Not to mention, you get to bring in your own picnic cooler if you'd like to. I just think it's a bargain for folks who want the bargain opportunity. But on the high end, it's just any sporting venue in the country now caters to high-end customers and has those luxury boxes. And so if you looked at that tent that was there and those trailers that were there, to put this building in, and, as I say, I'm sitting on the backstretch, and we've been kind of up here working on the set and whatnot for a week and a half or so, and I've been looking across, the track towards the building. It's just architecturally it fits in nicely. It's a good-looking building. From seeing the pictures on the inside, it looks beautiful inside. And, it caters to a higher price point. But, again, it doesn't take anything away. It replaces that banquet tent and the trailers, which most people probably weren't utilizing anyway. And it puts in something now that, as I say, every other sporting venue in the country has. And I think this venue, being the top racing venue in the country, was kind of crying out for this kind of thing. To me, no negatives, but I just think, being year 2019, you're going to get those people who are going to complain no matter what.
Well, anxious for you to see it, and I'm sure we'll talk about the early reviews when we are together on Sunday for Loose, and looking forward to getting people in here, and I'm anxious to see what kind of vibe in general, how well attended these first 4 days are going to be, and the adjustment to the 5 day a week schedule I think will be very easy, and I just expect it to be so much more relaxed, Seth, and that that I don't want to use the word grueling, but if, you know, unless you've gone through it for years as either an owner, a trainer, a horseman, a family of backstretch employees and their families. I mean, if you've been here and been involved for any length of time, you know that you get to Labor Day and you've been through a gauntlet. And I think it can only enhance everybody's experience up here.
Yeah, I've said, people have asked me for the last 3 or 4 months as they see me, what do you think of the new schedule? And I have said, for me, it's kind of a wait-and-see attitude. It's hard to predict. I think this first week, I think everybody looks forward to opening day. So I think tomorrow attendance is going to be fine. I'm going to be interested to see Friday and Saturday and Sunday, you know, an early July weekend. I'm not sure. I mean, traditionally, it was the August place to be. I think in a lot of people's minds, it's still August, and you still see that kind of jolt in attendance when the calendar changes to August, even with the schedule being in July as long as it has been now. So I think starting early in July, it may get off to a little bit of a slow start, although, as they say, tomorrow I think will be fine. Everybody looks forward to opening day. But as you say, the 2 days off I think is going to make a big difference for people, certainly those of us who are at the track every day. Again, you mentioned it, you get to Labor Day, and it's kind of like, I hate to see it go, but boy, I'm kind of ready for the break. And I think it'll be a little bit of a nice change this year with that 2 days off. Gives everybody a little time to decompress and get ready for the week. I'm going to be interested to see in that they decided to take off Monday and start Wednesday. And a lot of people have said, boy, that, you know, I used to like the long weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I get that, but I think that'll work out fine. I think those people who did the long weekend now will just shift and go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I think that'll wind up working out fine. I think it's going to work out nicely for local businesses. I think now if you want to take a week up here at Saratoga, maybe you come and a couple of days you can go down to the Baseball Hall of Fame or up to Lake George or just walk around Saratoga. So I think it'll play out nicely for local businesses. But, again, it's kind of a wait-and-see attitude as to how it will actually shake out.
Well, and, you know, it occurs to me, what's the TV schedule? How is it affecting the OTB broadcast schedule? What's going to be going on with the Monday, Tuesday?
Monday and Tuesday, it will just show racing. We'll only be live on the set on the racing day. So essentially, the schedule is, well, like the racing schedule. The number of days is just the same. It's just different days. So whereas I used to be Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with Racing Across America, then Brian Addo is on Saturday, you and I are on Sunday. Now Racing Across America for me is just Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but there will be more of them. I mean, I'm still going to have the same number of days. They're just Mondays won't be in the mix.
Is there going to be some Sunday night to Wednesday morning main runs?
That is always possible. Certainly, that would have definitely been in the mix in years past. But I'll probably work out a Sunday to a late Tuesday beach trip. There'll be one or two, I would think.
That's true. This comes a little late. It's too bad, actually. Right? That would have been ideal.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
All right, well, we'll make do. All right, and you should be, of course, scouting for places for Tina and I while you're there. Make sure you
pick out
something nice.
America's guest, though.
too funny.
I did mention we had the nice VRBO a few weeks ago. I could recommend that. It was up on Cousins Island. It was literally 9 minutes away from the old place, right on the water. It was a nice location.
Did you drive by Days? Did somebody buy Days? What's going on there?
I did drive by, and they're open. So somebody, we were talking about that. I've forgotten where somebody bought it, but it was open. It is open.
Good. Days Lobster and Seafood Shop, and they'll steam them for you and either take them home or you can eat in the backyard. Days, for those of you going up to Freeport, it's right on the way. This may be, since we're talking Maine, I should slip in my my plug for Willard Scoops in North Portland or South Portland. South Portland or North Portland?
South.
South Portland. Thank you. Wonderful ice cream shop. make sure you...
Don't you have the pizza shop that you like, too?
There's the pizza in Portland is out of this world. I mean, there's Otto, O-T-O-T-O.
Otto, that's the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's plenty others. And craft beer and spirits. And
it's become much like Saratoga, kind of a foodie town.
Yeah, well, it's got a pull on Saratoga as a food town, but Portland's a real small city, it's hip and happening. I love it. It's sort of the Portland of the East. Right? All right, let's dive in, Seth, and let's get some thoughts about the season. And do you want to do some handicapping, or do you have some overview that you want to offer?
I was trying to think as you were leading into that. I mean, one of the angles I've liked throughout the years, and it hasn't been as proficient the last couple of seasons, but I used to be a Jonathan Shepherd guy. I used to always toss his name out because he would bring in those Augustan runners that had raced in their previous race, Delaware or Laurel maybe, and had run maybe fifth or sixth, and they'd come up here and pop at a price. Again, that hasn't been quite as proficient lately, and the Augustan horses have kind of moved on. But maybe Jonathan Thomas with some Augustan horses, maybe take a look at some of those, or Graham Motion, because I think those Augustan runners may have some of that same kind of profile going forward. That was one of the angles I always used to sit on year in and year out. I can't think of any other real kind of... And everybody has, we were talking on the show earlier this morning about those kind of angles. Everybody has kind of a trainer that for them over the years has been productive at Saratoga. And one of them, I said, a lot of people's shepherd is Barkley Tagg, a guy who can bring horses up and maybe pop at a price once or twice during the meet. Everybody seems to have one tucked in their back pocket that has worked for them. So if you got one, spread the word a little bit. It won't hurt your price to tell two or three other people, but give them a chance at a ticket. The trainer angles are kind of fun if you have one like that. Other than that, I don't really have anything tucked in the back pocket to offer, really.
Well, for those that watched us the other day, we had...
That was a great call.
Pace and Dave, the clocker formerly known as Pace and Dave, now he's Palm Beach Downs Dave, but he gave out the Nevin runner up at over 8-1, and just got collared late. But Dave talked about the obvious. Everybody knows that, and in fact, there's an article by Dave Grenig, and Jay Privman will have his Delmar 2-year-old article, which is always a clip and save. We'll talk to Jay on Friday, but Dave Grenig has been doing those 2-year-old columns as well. He's got a big one in that hits not just the obvious, the Chad Brown and the Pletchers, etc., but as Dave Norton pointed out, Maya Engelhardt and Jeremiah on display right away early with some babies. And, and to your end, you want to talk about a maiden opportunity. You mentioned Augustine. They have, with Jonathan Thomas, George Strawbridge has got to a friend who is the 7-2 favorite in the nightcap tomorrow. So maybe you're on to something early. We'll see. Other favorite, trainers, if you go that way. Certainly our man George Weaver. And George did not have a typical Weaver Saratoga last summer, but the fact that George has been quiet at Belmont this early midseason, I'm going to guess that George will be poised for a big Saratoga.
Yeah, we've seen that in various years. Trainers have a big Belmont, and then they come up to Saratoga, and they've kind of run out of conditions for some of the horses, so things turn around. But then, as you say, you get those trainers who are kind of a little quiet at Belmont. They come up here. Those horses do still have some conditions. They're ready to pop. And that's one of the things I think you watch for. There will be the trainers that we all know, Pletcher and Chad Brown and whatnot. But usually in the first 3 or 4 days, 5 days, there are one or two trainers and maybe a couple of jockeys who kind of stand out on that next tier, and they're worth watching through at least the first half of the meet. They'll come in and they'll get a little bit hot and kind of announce that, as I say, maybe through the first 4 or 5 days of the meet, and then they're worth looking at for another 2 or 3 weeks or so.
Well, and on that topic, the way you refer that, you think about the book that Jim Mazur puts together, and you know, the way, you know, there was so many years where, you know, you really start your research with his stuff, and it's at proghandicap.com. I always give Jim a little push. He does a great job laying out the historic angles on what he used to call, I'm sure he still calls them, I didn't see this year's book yet, but he does the tortoise and the hares, the hares that get out to a big start in the first third of the meet. And of course, this goes back to the days of 6 days a week for 6 weeks, the 36 day meet. And so it used to be brought out into 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks, the middle 2 weeks, and the last 2 weeks. And that's changed somewhat. And you're going to have horses, this period that is going to be, they're going to have opportunities to run maybe, you know, easily three times. And, in fact, Voodoo, speaking of multi-winners, right? Voodoo, Dancer showed up, on Friday in the Forbidden
Voodoo
Apple.
Voodoo Dancer.
Yeah. Voodoo Dancer was nice as well. But Voodoo Song, who, you know, won three times at Saratoga, and an amazing story, all the way to grade one winner. But the certain themes that are based on the condition book, and, you know, I know that this has morphed somewhat over the years. There's still races that are always in certain places, and trainers know that they're going to have horses for those spots. And so there is a lot of benefit. If you are a DRF subscriber, go to the Simulcast Daily section and look at the winner's book. And right now, you can go, you know, if you go to the winner's book, all of last year's meet is going to be laid out for you, and look and see the conditions of the races and what the various, you know, who won. Look for, you know, look, we do this at Del Mar too. Look for guys that had, you know, big prices early in the meet. And a lot of those themes at least put you on watch for those, you know, for those possibilities. They just, you got to be aware. It doesn't necessarily work from year to year. And of course, there was Bill Mott, you know, who had been 0 for 40 with first time starters going back a bunch of years, and then he promptly won with two of his first three. What was that, 2 years ago?
I'll toss out another angle right along those lines too, the venues. And that's a good way to find that out, looking at those charts from last year. And looking at the previous race. And so you pick out the venues, and I used to do that Loose on the Lead every week, pick out where horses were coming from. That, to me, is worth looking at in the first 4 or 5 days, first 7 or 8 days maybe, and seeing, are they coming in from Churchill? Are they coming in from, maybe this summer we'll have horses coming in from Ellis, and how horses are doing from some of the other venues. Now, obviously, most of the winners will come from one of the New York tracks in their last start. But if you pay attention, some of those venues kind of stick out a little bit. And it's not you automatically go to them, but if there's a horse you're kind of wavering and you think, yeah, I got it down in the third spot and I'm not sure where to put it exactly, and it comes from a venue where the horses have been pretty good over the past, you know, 4, 5, 7 days, or since the beginning of the meet, yeah, maybe upgrade it a little bit.
Well, let's get a couple of opinions in. Kind of, you know, walk through real quick, Seth, particularly for the people that'll be listening to the replay, and the replay tomorrow will be leading you up basically to within an hour. First post tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Give us kind of, we'll go back and forth. I've got the card about 80% done. I got to do some pedigree work on that maiden race, but other than that, starts off tomorrow.
I gave out three last night at the seminar, so I'll hit on those. I've raced 5, 6, and 10. The 5 is a maiden special for state breds. I used Ghost, Ghost, Ghost on top because I like Arch, Arch, Arch as a sire of potentially precocious runners. Not necessarily super, but pretty good. The dam produced a sibling called Saratoga Charlie. That one took 10 starts to win, but in the 10 starts, the win, 3 seconds and a couple thirds. So a little bit of precociousness. Another sibling called Le Grand Warrior that was ninth in the debut but then won in the second start. So, again, I think there's a little win early breeding. It's Asmussen. The workouts are okay. 5-1. I put Ghost on top in that race. Funfetti for Jeremiah. That one had a sibling called Sunshine Sandy that won its debut. And as you mentioned earlier, Jeremiah now getting to be one of those guys you have to pay attention to with debut runners. And then I use the Wesley Ward runner underneath. So in the fifth at Saratoga, I have a 3-9-2-8.
Well, as I mentioned, I have not done too much of the pedigree kind of work yet. So I will not necessarily commit to anything in here. But I do note that there's an interesting name that jumped out at me as a dam from a barn that is not known at all as a first out type. Tom Albertrani hooked up with Bob Masiolo, and you remember Finder's Key, who was a nice horse, and she has produced a congrats filly that they called Key Pit. And that kind of is cute, because I'm going to guess that instead of selling this filly, that Masiola and Albertrani decided to keep it. That's what that's about. Yeah, and she was, you know, she keep Finder's Key did not run as a two-year-old, but I would keep an eye on this horse. The minute I saw Finder's Key, because I liked her anyway. All right, what are you doing in that sixth you mentioned?
Again, this is one where we got to take a look at the sky tomorrow. I think they are predicting a little weather, but on the turf, I have a 2-9-11 and the 1A. And I'll just admit, every once in a while, you roll the dice, and I'm rolling the dice here at 20-1 with 3 Outlaws. By Golden Sense, that to me is a win early sire, and kind of lived up to that winning in the third career start, but did take a little class dip there. The number isn't spectacular, but that was last October. Been off since that race. Look back in the middle of June, there was a bullet workout, best of 31 at Keeneland, and that Luis Saez for the move up here. So I thought the Brian Lynch runner in there, again, at 20-1, as I say, I'm taking a shot, I'm rolling the dice, but I think I'll get paid to take this shot. I just thought maybe a little bit interesting, 3 Outlaws in that sixth race.
Yeah, this is, as you've heard me say for years, the state bred allowance condition, and it doesn't matter. This is a turf sprint, but it doesn't really even matter. My favorites are the turf mile and change, mile and a 16th, etc. They have been historically, not just at Saratoga, but downstate too, but state bred allowance condition is so productive in terms of prices. And do not, in these races, I will tell you right now, do not be afraid. If you get an inkling about a price, do not be shy. Go ahead. If you thought something, you might very well be onto something. All right. So that's my overriding suggestion when it comes to, you know, the conditions. And I'll throw out Charlie Baker going to the turf with Light the Posse, 10-1, just kind of a little interesting to me. And then you got the 10th.
Again, I have to hope we keep on the turf here. But I used the four-horse Clatto's Run by Bonaventure Stables. That includes some local owners, so easy to root for locals. But this one debuted in Maiden Special Company. You know, an okay debut, one to learn from and benefit from, and then dropped in for a tag last time. But the winner there, Team Win, was a Pletcher Rapoli drop-down that looked to just kind of outclass the field. And yet this one was a very close-up second to that horse. Right off of that, I thought, oh, this horse is going to be beautiful up at Saratoga if they kind of stay in the same class level. They're coming back in essentially the same kind of a race. So Clatto's Run on top. And then, as you say, I put the Augustan Runner right underneath To a Friend. Encore Kitten, I also think, is a player in here. So in that 10th and final tomorrow, I have it 4-9-8-5.
This is a competitive bunch. These maiden 40s, and actually we're in that maiden 40 nightcap on Friday with Minute Mouse. So these are a tough way to. This is not a state bred race, but this is open company. But these are tricky. The ones that have run and run on turf, all pretty much, you know, within a length or two of each other. So it's a bit of a trip issue, and we'll see about the weather. 50-50 these first couple of days weather-wise, but 100% forecast for great coverage of the meet by Seth Merrow and everybody at Capital OTB TV, Seth and I on Sunday. And I think, Seth, one of our guests on Sunday, my guy Joe Bianca. Joe is up from for TDN. He's not for TDN. He's up with his girlfriend to see the races and to go to the concert Saturday night. But I think maybe we'll get Joe on Sunday.
Sounds good. And last week's show, Twitter storm. You tweeted some things out. People were going back and forth and liking and retweeting. Oh, and one person tweeted, how do you watch if you're not up here? You can do it by going to the Capital OTB website, which came up with a redesign today, a brand-new website. Also, on Equidaily, I put a big link up on Equidaily to get to that media page. So if folks aren't in the area, want to watch the OTB programming live from the Saratoga backstretch every morning, just swing on over to CapitalOTB.com.
Including our irreverent hijinks on Loose on the Lead.
Yeah, very much so. 10 o'clock on Sunday.
Seth Merrow, everybody. You can follow Seth on Twitter as well. And if you aren't following Seth, God, you're missing out on so much. Miss a little, miss a lot.
I'm stepping it up. I'm stepping it up for the people.
Seth Merrow, Andy Serling, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, Pete Fornatel earlier too, and Brian Bouye with his book. You can go see Brian and Mike Veach, 6:30 at the Hall of Fame today. If you're listening to this tomorrow, you missed them. But you can still go buy the book. 150 years of Travers, Saratoga's greatest race. We'll talk to you, I think, from the grounds tomorrow, from the race course. Enjoy the day, everybody. Good luck. Talk to you tomorrow.